Hi, guys. Welcome to the Dominion Women's Health Podcast. I'm Dr. Danny Chaban. Still no name to our podcast. Thinking of names of my staff versus the podcast. Today's podcast is going to be for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I guess everyone knows since 1985, Breast Cancer Awareness Month was initiated, and it's all around the United States, and now it's picked up all around the world. And we are fortunate enough in our practice to have, I wanted to say Matt White, but I'm not allowed to say that. So Madeline White, she's one of our nurse practitioners who's very, very knowledgeable in regards to breast cancer awareness, detection. And Matt, we're fortunate to have Madeline in our practice because she sees patients as obstetrics as well as gynecology and does a lot of education with our young women as well as work with postmenopausal women in regards to breast cancer detection. And the most important thing that we should always know is early detection. So welcome, Maddie.
Thank you.
So if I was a young woman, which I could be if I keep losing hair, but if I was a young woman, 35 years of age, and I come to you for my annual exam, how do you bring up like breast cancer awareness, detection? I mean, what would you say?
So typically with every single patient for an annual exam, I ask them if they have any family history or personal history of any breast cancer, but also not in addition to that, I also ask them about ovarian cancer, endometrial, colon, because there are some association with some of those cancers and breast cancer increasing their risks. So, and if they say yes, then I go down the list as to what family member, the age they were when they were diagnosed, just to fully determine their risk. So that's typically what I start off with all of my patient annual exams.
Do you find it amazing that if you just spend a little bit of time with patients, you end up finding out when patients check off on their encounter ticket, do you have any risk factors for cancer? They go, no, no, no. And then it's almost the opposite once you spend
absolutely.
Time with them.
Absolutely. When I sit down and talk to them and ask them specifically, I feel like I get way more information than just asking them generic, do you have any family history of cancer?
And do you perform any tests in the office in regard, let's say, because I'm trying to give a scenario. Let's say you have a young lady who says, well, my grandfather had colon cancer, my grandmother had breast cancer, and my mom had a scare, but it was an early breast cancer. Is there a test that we can do other than their self-breast exam and the imaging to be done?
Absolutely. Well, now, thankfully, we have a lot of genetic testing that's available to us. And of course, you know, successful rates are all about early detection. There's different genetic testing, in particular, like BRCA analysis, just to look at to see if they have a mutation of the BRCA1 or BRCA2 gene. Which, you know, for those of you that may not know, BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes, everyone has. They actually are tumor suppressing genes, but if you have a mutation of one of those, it increases your risk to have breast or ovarian or some estrogen receptor positive cancer. So if they meet criteria or have a significant family, then 100% I typically always order those gene panels to determine their risk better.
And I know you've sent us patients in the past, the providers, or we've co-managed patients, but if this young lady, God forbid, her BRCA came back positive, it doesn't necessarily mean she has breast cancer,
no.
Correct?
No, not at all. If you have a positive BRCA1 or BRCA2 gene mutation, it just increases your risk that you will develop breast or ovarian or a estrogen receptor positive cancer by like 60%. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll get it, but it just means that we need to screen those patients extra cautiously. So things like obviously annual mammograms like we would do for anybody with average risk, but also annual MRIs. And I typically will always send them to a breast surgical oncologist as well, just so they can be involved in their care to talk about risk reduction surgery if that's something that they wanted to do, et cetera.
And how early would you start imaging someone who's had such a strong family history?
So it just depends on the age of and who in the family had a history of breast cancer. So Currently, the guidelines are recommendations that if there's a first degree relative, to, you know, depends on how old they were when they were first diagnosed, to start 10 years younger than that. So, you know, for example, if mom was like 40, then obviously you'd start screening the patient at age 30. And then a lot of patients don't realize too, and this is something that I always like to tell my patients, even if they're negative for a gene mutation, you still can have an increased risk of breast cancer depending on your family history. So the average risk of developing breast cancer in your entire life is like 13%. But now the American Cancer Society recommends that if your risk is 20% or higher, to still do annual MRIs. So there's, you know, a risk calculator that I do with patients often to determine their risk percentage. And if they're above 20, I also send them for an MRI too.
I think that's amazing because especially in this day and time with healthcare and preventative maintenance on our body and just being proactive. I mean, I know in our practice, and you've seen it, is when I was in college and in med school, they always talked about like breast cancer and you should start at 40 and then maybe they wanted to push it to 45. But what we see in our practice is the majority of our breast cancer detection is under 45.
Absolutely.
And it sort of scares you that what about some of these patients that aren't taking the initiative to have the screening test done? Do you pick an age to say, I'm not going to do any more imaging or screening?
Absolutely not. I still do annual mammograms on patients who are in their 70s and 80s because the risk is still, you know, there. Obviously, it's not as high, but definitely continue to screen.
Well, and I like that attitude because I tell patients all the time, I'll have patients that are in their 80s and they walk 2 miles a day. They're very active. Absolutely. They're driving and they go, well, why do I need to get this thing done at my age? I go, well, do you like walking 2 miles a day, driving to the store, taking your own initiative to do things? And they go, of course. I go, then we should
do it. Doing it. Yeah.
But with that being said, if you have a patient who's bedridden, unable to do daily tasks, then see that.
Exactly.
Point. Yep.
Exactly. So question for you. I know the U.S. Preventative Tasks, recommends to do, at one point they were recommended to do mammograms like every 2 years, but then of course the ACS recommends to do them annually. So like, what's your thought on that?
So I'm all about testing and preventative maintenance. So I don't follow that rule of every 2 years. I tend to go off on this podcast sometimes on healthcare and some of the rules that the politicians try to throw out there. And I say to every one of them, was your wife getting her yearly mammogram? Is your wife getting her yearly pap? So, and yes, I think it should be done every year. And in my practice, the way I manage, I do it every year. And I think pretty much everyone in our practice now does every year.
Definitely.
I mean, it's crazy. You look at like even the cervical cancer screening, the stuff where you see some of the guidelines say, well, maybe we should move it to every 3 to 5 years. And I've been of the opinion to always question it. And they go, well, it takes HPV 3 to 5 to turn into cancer. I'm like, okay, so we do that, and then you move mammograms to every 2. If it's a typical male mentality like myself, if you tell me to do it every 2, then I'm going to do it every 5 or 10 because I'm going to forget to go to every 2. So, yes, yeah, I agree. I think true. Every year. Let's say, for instance, and I know that we don't do that much of it and the oncologists do, but I know that you have a lot of patients that you counsel prior to them seeing the GYN oncologist and we talk to them on treatment. Because I know treatment has changed dramatically for the past 20 years since I've been in practice, where it went from surgery to medical management. Can you just give us a little quick overview? I'm not going to ask you the drugs that they do or anything.
Absolutely. So, typically with the initial consult with, oncology for someone who does have a positive gene mutation, definitely risk reduction surgery, and I didn't realize until recently that risk, so like a elective mastectomy for someone who has a gene, positive gene mutation, can reduce their risk by up to 95%, which, I mean, you think about that risk reduction. So you found out you have a BRCA, you know, gene mutation, and so your risk of getting breast cancer is higher than average. You get a mastectomy and you can reduce it by 95%. So that's a lot of times, you know, a discussion that I will potentially have with patients prior to seeing oncology. You know, there's other things as well, too, like, you know, medications that can decrease your ovulation and decrease, you know, estrogen, that kind of thing, because a lot of breast cancers are estrogen receptor positive. So like drugs like tamoxifen, et cetera, can help reduce their risk some as well, too, if they're not, you know, wanting to do any risk reduction surgery. But I think that that's a big thing. And, you know, just obviously annual screening mammograms and MRIs in addition.
Yeah. And I like when we counsel the patients, because I'll have patients occasionally come in that have been taking tamoxifen. And we all know that tamoxifen decreases your risk of reoccurrence of breast cancer, but it also has its risk factors. So sometimes we'll get a patient that has dysfunctional uterine bleeding, and the tamoxifen itself causes the lining in the uterus potentially to get thicker and hyperplasia, pre-cancer and cancer of the uterus. So whenever we have patients that come in with postmenopausal bleeding that are on tamoxifen, we get an ultrasound, do a DNC just to make sure. The one thing that I'm always in shock is when we have young women in their mid to late 40s that are breast cancer survivors that are undergoing therapy, is to watch how the medical management or the radiation, the treatment prior to surgery. I remember one woman that still blows me away till this day who had like a 5-centimeter mass. And after she went through the medical management prior to surgery, they had to go back and look where they had marked the breast where she had her breast cancer. So I think they've made some huge strides.
Absolutely.
I was reading a recent article that women should not die of breast cancer. They should be able to live with breast cancer, be treated for breast cancer, and be cured of breast cancer.
Absolutely.
I just remember as a kid, my mom taking us to like a family friend's funeral that had breast cancer and the woman had died. And breast cancer, I mean, the mortality rate used to be dramatic.
Really high, yeah.
I don't know what now it is. I don't know if you have that data.
I don't have that data, no.
So the big thing in our practice is just preventative. We want to make sure that you're doing everything you can to take care of your body, your health, and make sure that we're doing all the screening procedures with you to have early detection. But also, we don't want to detect anything. We want to make sure that you're healthy, your body's healthy, and that you're going to be around to take care of your family, your friends, and yourself. One of the things that we forgot to talk about too is, what are some of the things that decrease your risk of breast cancer?
So, you know, definitely someone with a really strong family history. Like I said, there's some breast cancers that are estrogen receptor positive, but then there's some that aren't. So it's hard to tell, obviously, you know, until the pathology for someone who has breast cancer. But if there's a significant family of estrogen receptor positive cancer, like obviously, you know, watching things like estrogen or hormone exposure, you know, that's a big thing. Obviously, living an overall healthy lifestyle, exercising, being a healthy weight, those things can all increase your risk too, like obesity and overall being unhealthy of having breast cancer or any type of cancer really thereof. I always tell patients too, like self-breast check at least monthly. That's a huge educational point that I always try to make sure, something simple that we, you know, can easily forget, but that's something that I always try to talk to patients about as well too.
I think that's a really good point. I mean, you'll see stuff on Dr. Google and all these other websites that talk about like certain types of diets can decrease your risk. I think it's exactly what Maddie was just saying, is just eating healthy. I mean, anything in moderation is not that bad, but just eating healthy, decreasing the fats in our diet, exercising is a really big thing. What I tell my patients all the time with fibroids or with hormone replacement, and Maddie just touched on it as well, is your weight. I mean, body fat produces a low dose estrogen. It's still estrogen. So if you have an estrogen receptor positive breast cancer, even though you're trying to exercise or you're trying to watch what you eat, but you're not on birth control, your body fat is going to feed this breast cancer. So the nice thing is that watching your diet, exercising can tend to help. And I agree. I think one of the most important things is self-exam. I mean, self-breast exams. That's really, really important. I've seen studies even back when I was in med school that said, well, are self-breast exams really that good? Are they that accurate? They're not that accurate. And I say all the time to my patients, I don't know if you talk to your patients about it, I go, who knows your breast better than you?
Correct.
Absolutely. I mean, let's just face fact. I mean, you know that little twinge or this little tiny little spot versus your provider doing an exam for 10 or 15 minutes during once a year.
Absolutely.
So I think it's better than nothing. But the other big thing is the new imaging. I mean, over the last, 10 years now, we have Tomo.
Absolutely.
The mammography. I mean, the images look amazing. We get a lot more detailed images, and sometimes we start chasing after stuff. But I think overall, things have gotten much better in that aspect of the healthcare and women's health. Because you guys know how much I bitch and moan about how this government doesn't appreciate women's health and doesn't do strides. But in this case, I have to step back and admit it's probably in the past 20 years, the best thing that's happened in women's health is for breast cancer detection and therapy.
Absolutely.
The rest, we'll keep an eye on it. Anything else you think that we should mention or add?
Well, I was just going to show you guys. This is just a sample of just like a questionnaire. So it's got on here that we give to patients at the front before when they check in, before one of the providers see them. So it just says like if they have a history of any type of female breast cancer, personal or anybody in the family, ask ovarian, pancreatic, prostate, any Jewish heritage, because that increases your risk of breast cancer as well too, uterine cancers, colon cancer. So that just kind of gives us a good basis of family history and personal history. This is what a genetic test looks like that we get for BRCA analysis, because a lot of patients have, you know, questions about like, all right, well, that's fine, but what does genetic testing entail? So it used to be that we just did serum tests or blood tests all the time, but now actually a lot of the test collection kits are saliva based. So, you know, it's pretty easier, less invasive. You know, the patient gives us a saliva sample, we send it off. Typically the company that we use is really good at letting the patient know if they have to pay anything for a copay. That's, I was told, over a dollar amount. And they will talk to the patient before the test is actually run. But a lot of insurances will cover it if they have a significant family history enough to be able to warrant getting the test. So that's,
and I remember when this test first came out, I remember in like 2005, 2007, we would talk to patients and I would go out and talk to the primary care doctors in regards to testing. And that was back when we drew the blood. And a lot of people, and this is something that we forgot to touch base on, is are scared to test because they say, well, you know what? I own my own business or I work for this company. And what if I test positive? Is this going to label me that I'm high risk and I can't get life insurance?
Absolutely.
If I change my insurance, am I at risk that my copays are going to go up? And no, there's federal laws to protect you in Absolutely. Regards to this.
And I, like, you know, just will touch base briefly on personal experience with that. So long story short is, my mom had breast cancer, passed away at age 45 due to breast cancer that was caught late. So that's why early detection is so important. So I got the gene test a few years ago, actually, when I first met Dr. Chaban, who talked me into doing it. I was negative, but my risk is still high. I had talked to my sister a few years about, you know, not a few, maybe like a couple times, just about doing it. So same thing. She was kind of scared to do it, didn't want to do it because she's like, what if I'm positive? Like, what does that mean? I don't want to live with that fear the rest of my life. So this past spring, summer, she actually decided to get tested. Lo and behold, she was positive for a BRCA2 gene mutation. Got a screening MRI, had some irregularities, actually came back positive as early stage 1 breast cancer. she's had a mastectomy, and so we've caught this early. And so if she never got the genetic test, we wouldn't have known. The oncologist told her it would have taken a year or two to show up on a mammogram. So, like, you know, that's a good case scenario of how important the BRCA analysis and early detection is. Because if we had waited to do a mammogram, this outcome could have been way different.
I know. I think she's very, very blessed and lucky. And that's good. And at least she had someone in her family to guide her and maybe even push her a little bit. Imagine how many people are out there. They just go, well, everyone in my family's fine. My favorite line that I hear being of Lebanese ancestry is, if it's your time to go, it's your time to go. I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't mean you drive the car off the cliff. So it's great to hear stories like that. And I think that's the one thing that makes you feel good about doing what you do.
Absolutely. And that's what I try to tell patients too. And they're like, what do we do? I always tell them, like, all right, tell them about the gene genetic testing. I'm like, this is what we do with this information. If you are positive, I try to give them the scenario. If you are, I'm like, if you are positive, then that just means we need to screen you extra cautiously. And, you know, all about early detection. If you're negative, then great. You have a little bit of peace of mind, but we still are going to screen you, you know, more cautiously than the average person. So
that's awesome, Maddie. So what we're going to try to do is every podcast, instead of listening to me whining and moaning and being political, is we're going to try to pick topics. One of our next topics we're going to do is I'm going to bring in our midwives to just tell you at Dominion Women's Health some of the other services. But the great thing about our practice is we're very diverse. We're very high tech. You have physicians, nurse practitioners, PAs, as well as midwives. And we're very lucky and blessed to have nurse practitioners like Maddie that help take care of our patients and give them the best care possible. So thanks for tuning in today, and we'll see you soon. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.